Welcome to Wolf Dan's Saturday Set, where we are back on the tools once again, trying to chisel out an urn. You've been on the tools a long time, Kingzone, haven't you?
I need a new toolbox.
How's your toolbox been this week, Fizz?
Toolbox was okay this week.
Very good.
Yeah.
We've got some very fast horses running around the country this Saturday, and I think we should get straight into it. We're going to go to Moonee Valley. The Moya Stakes, 1,000 metres. Group 1 weight for age, as good as it gets. They're going to go very, very fast, just like they did in the Paris 100 metres athletics not long ago. We're going to unpack the race quite extensively, but there's one horse in it which is the best horse in the race, but it's a bit hard to know what's going to happen with him. I wish I win. I was listening to Moody on the mic last night, and he spoke quite insightfully about I wish I win. So why don't we listen to that?
I wish I win. Have you got him wound up to win at 1,000 metres first up, or is your target quite obviously further down the line in an Everest that's worth a lot of money?
Yes, 6 weeks away is his target race. But bearing in mind he's coming off a late Queensland winter campaign with a lot of residual fitness, and I'm mindful that a race like this is quite a tough race. So he's not going into it soft in the way that I would risk it hurting him fitness-wise. He is fit and forward enough to win the race if it does pan out, you know, where they go at a good clip. You don't want a stupid clip. You want them to go at a good clip. Every horse gets a nice clean run and he gets a chance to balance and run home. And you hope he can bounce off that camber at Moonee Valley and do that.
All right. So I might start with you, Fizz. What did you make of the race and how are you handling I Wish I Win? Because it's hard to know. It's unusual for him to be first up over 1,000 metres, but he's very solid in the market around 460 or something.
Yeah, look, he's clearly the best horse, but 1,000 metres I think is a long time since he's been at that distance. I think it's once before he's ever
maybe raced in New Zealand that, as well. Yeah,
and so really hard to see. Obviously, they're going to go quick. Lady of Camelot should hunt up. Estriella should maybe sit outside. But there's like a horse like Johnny Rocker could punch up. It's a really, really, really good race, and it's one that I won't get my I won't be wagering big in. But I was going to back Lady of Camelot. Okay. The price went off before I got on, so I may see what happens come race day.
Golden Slipper winner. Is there some breaking news around the price of Lady of Camelot? I heard you talking about.
Yeah, I spent a big go this morning, Lady of Camelot. So if you look at the AI screen up there, we've got Estriella with a bullet rating of 87 and Lady of Camelot with a bullet rating of 57 and a price of 350. Lady of Camelot's been backed from about $4 into about $3. Estriella's out to $3.90 and I Wish I Win's out to $5. It's a very interesting map here. So the 1,000 metres at the Valley, it's a huge advantage to be in the first two or actually lead.
Sure.
If you get third, fourth, fifth back on the fence, it's not impossible to win, but obviously it's a real big negative over 1,000 metres. So Lady of Camelot's drawn barrier two, 50 kilos. If I was Zach Lloyd, there's no way I'm handing up the lead to Estriella. Mm-hmm. Estriella could want the lead. If I'm at Estriella, I'm going out pretty hard trying to get the lead there as well, like Shin. But I don't think there's any value there. I think Estriella or Lady of Camelot will win the race just because they're the two fastest horses. It's a weird race because there's no 1,000-metre horses in this race apart from Mornington Glory. You could argue Estriella and Lady of Camelot are suited because they're speedy. But Mornington Glory, they put up 20-1, which we can see on the screens into 15. I think it's even shorter than that now. Three from three over 1,000 metres at the Valley. I can't believe they put up 20-1. It's going to get a nice run, probably sit third fence behind those leaders. I think it's a great each-way bet. Getting to I Wish I Win, just the map is just so hard over 1,000 metres, not 1,000-metre horse, so hard. But what I do think is that I Wish I Win will drift and he's a very good bet for a place. Okay. I think I Wish I Win will run home and run second or third. And as Mood said, then they could go too hard. I gave Chain of Lightning a place chance as well. So
he says it's flying in track work. He went on to speak about that after.
Chain of Lightning?
Yes.
Yeah, had one jump, really impressive jump out. So I don't think this is... I don't think there's any value at the top of the market. If I'm going to bet, I'm going to back Mornington Glory. Mm-hmm. And if I was going to have another bet, it would be I Wish I Win for a place.
Okay, very good. We've got to keep rolling. We can go to Moonee Valley Race 7, the Mackenzie Stakes for the 3-year-old colts. We've got a couple of unbeaten horses here. that dominate the market. You can see them, Epimels and Public Attention, up on the AI screen as well. Talk to us, Kingzone.
Love this race.
Ooh.
I love this race. So Epimels, you can see a bullet rating and a consider laying. Their bullet rating is 61. Two runs, two wins, been over 1,400 and 1,300. I think this horse needs longer than 1,200. Mm-hmm. That is why you've got a consider laying next to that horse. Let's go to Public Attention's had one run for one very good win as well.
Mm.
But needs to improve off that run. Let's go to Stolly Bolly, who's had two runs, first at Geelong and then second, which I tipped on the Saturday set, sat third fence at the Valley and didn't get a lot of room. Mm.
Daggers won the race, yeah.
Ran second to Daggers, who won pretty easy, but they did run very good time. The thing about Stolly Bolly in this race is he's drawn out in barrier eight. I don't know if he's got the pace to get across from eight and sit outside the leader, which means he's going to have to go back. I am going to back Stolly Bolly. I think he's more of a Flemington horse. I think he's a good each-way bet, once again, because I think he'll be charging home. I think he's a better place bet than his actual win bet. And then you'll see down the bottom there a horse called Red Sea. So if we just go to the tape there, you'll see Red Sea's come over from New Zealand. This, what we're looking at here, is the size produce over in New Zealand at Trentham. That's Red Sea leading. There's another horse in the race called Sergeant Major in the blue and yellow, which gets home and runs fifth. This is over 1,400 metres. The race on Saturday is over 1,200 metres. Red Sea will go straight to the front. Red Sea has the figures from New Zealand to win the race. And more importantly, Red Sea has been gelded.
Mm-hmm.
I think I smell a rat here. Coming over from New Zealand, being gelded, straight to the lead over 1,200 metres at the Valley, is about $7.50. And sometimes in life you've got to back yourself and throw the computer form out the window. And this is one of those times. You don't see it very often. But Red Sea is an official Saturday set tip.
There it is.
And I think we'll run a lot shorter than 7.50 and could even start favourite.
Wow. Outstanding summation, King. Fizzer, pass to you, mate. I don't know if you can better that, but have a go.
There was a great summation. I took $8 this morning, Red Sea, so I'm in the same camp as Kings. I did this horse because we were looking at it in the set and, sorry, this race, and came out top pick on my ratings and wanted to back it because it's going to the front. So I'm on it, Red Sea. I'm backing Stolly Bolly as well. Don't know where it'll get to in the run. Everyone's telling me that it'll get back, but if it jumps, it could sit outside the lead. We'll see what happens. I thought the two favourites in the race, the two that came up a bit short,
mm-hmm.
For horses that look like they need longer. So for me, yep, good value race, around the $8 mark, those two, Red Sea and Stolly Bolly, I'm on.
Fantastic. Great. Just before we move on from the Moonee Valley meeting, there's free AI on Victorian meetings on Saturday. We'll be like that the whole way through the spring with our partnership with racing.com. So make sure you jump on that either on the website, wolfden.ai, or on the Wolfden app. And we're going to move on now to Randwick. We're going to go to Randwick Race 7, the Concord Stakes, 1,000-metre Group 3. This is the best Group 3 sprint race you will ever see in your life. Let's throw the market up on the screen as well. There it is, boys. It's a Group 1 race every day of the week, but it's Group 3 because it is one of the lead-ups to the Everest. I'm sure PVL is hanging out for it to be raised by the Patent Committee, but that's not happening yet. It's also worth $1 million, and we get the return of Giga Kick, and then there's also a return of Bella Nipotina. Just quickly on Bella Nipotina, Moody was talking about residual fitness for I Wish I Win because he went deep into the Brisbane Carnival. Well, Bella Nipotina went even deeper, so she's going to have a lot of residual fitness as well.
Mm.
What do you think?
Another funny form race because it's over 1,000 metres, and a lot of these horses like Bella Nipotina and Giga Kick aren't really 1,000-metre horses. So the pace will come from I Am Me, Red Card, and Way in the Stars. A lot of those fancies, the top four that you can see in the market, or top five really, won't be in the first four in the run. So over 1,000 metres, that makes things a bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I think Giga Kick at the $2.80 is extremely short. Mm-hmm. Hasn't run for a year. Going to get back in the field. Doesn't seem to have the same acceleration over 1,000 metres that some of the other horses have. Not saying can't win, but certainly would be against at that price. So where does it leave us? Bella Nipotina, I think, will get a good run from barrier one. I think Private Eye, 4 from 9 first up. I thought Remark has good 1,000-metre figures as well, but Has he come back as good? I'm not sure. I think the market, apart from Giga Kick, is probably about right. I don't have a bet in the race, but I do have a question for everybody out there.
Ooh.
When you're assessing, because we talked about the Moonee Valley, I wish I win these genuine group one races. Do you assess the form any different to a race, to a provincial race or a country race? And also, what is the number one factor that you think group one horses have when assessing the race? And by that, I mean, what are you looking for? Like, what are you looking, is it acceleration? Is it position in run with these group one horses? Because I noticed that a lot of people do assess these races differently. Mm-hmm. So is it time ratings or is it a jockey? Or what's the number one thing you look for when assessing a group one quality race?
And you're shouting out to people out in the YouTube universe to answer that for us in the comments.
Yep.
That'd be great. We had some great comments last week around Mackay Diva and my claim that it was the greatest preparation ever. Loved all the comments. A real George Moore in. Remember I said George Moore would come in and he came in hard. Excellent. A lot of really, really well thought out responses. So thank you for that.
Just further to that, the reason that I do want to know is because I don't do as well in the group run races. Mm. When I look at mine, I do better in the country races than I do in the group one races. Whether or not it's because the market's more accurate, I'm not sure. But if you could send them through, that'd be great.
What do you think of the greatest group three sprint race ever, Fizz?
Yeah, great race. I agree. Obviously, all the speed horses are rough. I thought whoever gets the best run out of those horses, and I thought it would be Giga Kick. I'm a little bit against what Kings are saying. I think Giga Kick trialled really well and looked set for this race to me first up. J-Max on board, so I think they've really made a statement there by picking him. I don't like Private Eye. I think it might be gone as a horse. Bella Nipotina, don't think 1,000 metres for me. Barrier 1, going to be stuck on the fence. Remarks, the one that you don't know, won the race last year.
Yes.
So it obviously likes this race, this distance. Could surprise.
Ladbrokes Racing Club horse as well.
There you go. And then IME, I'm a little bit, the judiciary's out on it.
Sure.
So for me, Giga Kick picks itself. And I've got an all up going at $13. So get Giga Kick home.
Giddy up. Can we get your remaining official Saturday set?
Yeah, you most certainly can. I thought it was a hard day across the country. A lot of horses first up and a lot of tricky races. So Red Sea is my first official Saturday set tip. I've got two more. The next one is Doomben Race 5, number 7. Atmosphere, which gets straight to the front. Went too hard in front last time at the Sunny Coast. Only 52 kilos on Atmosphere's back with Emily Lang in the saddle. Should lead and should be too strong. Take the early price. Then we go to Belmont Race 7, number 2, Sentimental Bell. Not much luck last start. Going from a benchmark 72 to a benchmark 66. Pikey's on. 7-day backup. Booyah!
Very good. Thank you. Great Saturday set.
Thank you.
And let's go to what everyone's been waiting for, the Fizzers Saturday set.
Give it a rest. Doomben Race 3, I'll start at number 2, Hell of a Barty. It's first up. Speed should be really, really hot in this race. Strong Barrier 1, I think it gets back about midfield or worse and should get its chance in the straight. I think D. Thornton will give it a good steer and should come over the top of him. I'm going to head over to Randwick, Race 2, number 5, a horse called Martini Mama. It's first up for the Dale Stable. J-Mac's been booked to ride, and that's where I'm getting my lead from because it comes out well clear on my ratings. And then on top of that, with J-Mac aboard, there's no public trial on this horse. So there was reports that it might have run around at Goulburn in a jump out, but couldn't find it anywhere. So hoping it's ready to go. First up stats are good. Think it's a really good bet. We go to Belmont, Race 8, number 5, a horse called Triple J. King's talked about Pikey. Pike gets on this one. This one's going for 6 in a row. Triple J, it'll go to the front by itself and looks like a great setup to win the race to me. And then I'm going to go for a roughie in the second last race at Morpheville. Race 8, number 9, a horse called Huntley Lady. I'm going to back it each way. It's about 20 to 1. Look, not a great recipe getting back to last at the Morpheville tracks, but Morpheville Parks track. But first up, this horse goes well fresh and at 20 to 1, I'm going to have an each way play.
Very good. What do you think of my shirt, by the way?
Yeah, you look smart today, Rich.
You like the shirt? Yeah. Father's Day present.
Very nice.
The kids have done well.
Kids have got good taste.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code Gallop. Take on the fun this spring carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this spring carnival. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. Very good. All right, we've got to keep moving. We can go to the A-team set. And they're not doing that well. I actually had very brief correspondence with Dan O this morning. He's angry. He's angry about his results, and he's wants to do better.
No one likes losing.
No one likes losing, no. And there you can see he's actually dipping one of your horses as well, Martini Mama. Yeah.
Mm.
So there's Dan O. Let's keep rolling along. There's Dream Team Matt. There's Smalley. They're all pretty decent prices, these A-team sets. And finishing off with the Junior Matt, he's got a decent price as well. RI staking plan, we'll move to that. I've fallen into the negative.
Hardly surprising.
So I've just truckloaded that's all the fizzers tips.
Someone has just carved me up there.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
He jumps off, they all win. He
be
jumps
careful
on,
what you wish
Jesus.
For.
It's time to move to accountability. let's see. It's a modest situation, except for the fizzer.
I'm
absolutely killing it. That's incredible, Fizz. Well done, mate. 35% on turnover. A great profit there. I hope some people out there are following Fizzer religiously and are doing really well out of it. The King's Own and I have to do better.
$82, I can afford a couple of bus trips.
And let's move on to the A-team credibility or accountability. Credibility as well. Not a pretty picture. Hey, they're working as hard as anyone to try and turn these things around. They're on the tools all day and night trying to do better. Doesn't take much though, King Zone, does it?
It doesn't, but if you add all those five, six tipsters up, there is a profit there, which is good. Talking about profit, let's have a look at the August leaderboard for Punter of the Year, which Thomas Hudson came from the clouds to knock off King. Thomas Hudson is a genius on the trots. I went through his tips. 48% on turnover, 129 tips. King, very good on the greyhounds, 44% on turnover. And also we've got in there Lachlan McGrath, who did fabulous. And also Daniel coming in at fourth.
Daniel Maneef.
Yes.
One of the greats on the den.
Sports genius. NRL is absolutely killing it.
And related to racing.com royalty as well.
That's BZ. Right. And what's even better is we've got 10 people who have tipped over 10% for the month of August with over 100 tips. So get on there, because you can actually break it down by sport or racing code or whatever you want. And these are proper tips, proper accountability, and real accounts. So you're not copying somebody's tips who you've got no idea whether they won or they lost or, you know, some a multi. These are real tips. Real tips, real people.
That's it. Yeah, it sounds familiar. All right, very good. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up, but we'll just roll through a few things. Content-wise, .com and the Den Monday is our new vodcast. We're doing in partnership with racing.com. Received well. There you are, the King. You're in there. You do a segment with Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes and also Rog Aldridge, who's helping me host it. Received really well. It's basically just a preview of everything that happened over the week, and also get you set for the week ahead. Drops on a Monday afternoon, so you're probably well into the grind by then and wishing it was a weekend, but this will just help you get through that period again. So make sure you check it out on Monday. The other thing I want to do is a shout out. A few people text me saying they watched the live stream back in its entirety.
Wow.
We did a live stream on Saturday, and they watched the live stream back in its entirety on Sunday, Monday, days after. So anyone who sits through 2.5 hour live stream a day or two later, full credit to you. You're what this great game is all about, and also what the Den is all about. So thank you very much for that. Talking about content, let's talk about this one. Please play it, Trill Mitt. What's going on here? So it's our theme song. Our theme song, the Saturday set theme song playing at a nightclub. Is it Double Bay or something like that? You were?
Yeah. I think we were, yeah, from memory.
25 bucks.
He's very vague from that evening, but yeah, I don't know what this is all about.
Yeah, I see. What does that mean? You go, I don't know.
I'm not really sure, but it was a great night for Dream Team's birthday. And
yeah, 41.
Yeah, we partied long into the wee hours of the morning.
As Glenn Pollard says, I didn't know people celebrated their 41st birthday, but that's our man Dream Team.
Celebrate life. Yeah. We don't need an excuse.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, I think we're pretty close to wrapping up. And as you know, I like to leave you with something to pump you up for the weekend ahead. And I watched this clip, a short clip made by Ladbrokes. Obviously, Ladbrokes make best in-game content. And this one features Estriella at the Kieran Maher stable. And they just sort of run through what's going to happen for her in this preparation. She's obviously favourite for the Moya on Saturday. So I wanted to leave you with this. She's a very exciting mare, a very good mare. And she's going to go very fast on Saturday. And I hope you all make money on Saturday. And we will be in the den and we hope to see you there. Saturday session as well. We're going to make a Saturday session, which are always very popular. It's our first Saturday session of the campaign.
Looking forward to
I've spent a lot of effort, as have the boys over on the editing desk, to try and improve it. So that'll drop on Saturday night and give you something to watch on Saturday night or on Sunday. I also heard that a lot of people like to watch the Saturday session when they're hungover on a Sunday. Perfect way to chill out on a Sunday is watch that. So that's the update. That's where up. That's where we are up to, up the den. Thank you very much for the support.
Estriella, she's always had that X factor about her. Very exciting. You know, she's a very well-bred filly, and when you don't know where the ceiling is, that's pretty exciting.
Control 7, you have to start making your way up, please. Control 7, control 7.
Her first run in the autumn, it was arrogant.
Estriella's going to be the widest around the turn.
It's just sat wide.
Here's Estriella from a long way back.
And the way she did that, you're like, well, we're in very good prep.
She's dominant. Estriella won it well.
Then the two at Flemington.
Estriella will do enough for the big prize.
That was another step up again.
She pings away. She's too good. Estriella, brilliant.
Her prep was a stepping stone to what should hopefully be her best year.
We'll go around the other side, James.
She's grown up a lot. She's a horse we've always kept down at our Fingal environment because mentally she's just bright-eyed. Like, you could see her brain was doing far too much. She was mentally immature.
Ask her a little bit more than last try.
Yeah, you can have a nice try. Yeah. She should do it within herself.
When she goes to the races or when she has a trial, it's a big deal. When you go to that next level or the group one, everything needs to be spot on.
And away, Estriella jumped well in the gold jacket.
The wet track today, it was good to see how she'd handle that.
Estriella will show them towards the turn, and with close to 500 to go, she comes down towards the fence.
Yeah, I don't think we have seen her best yet.
Down towards the 200 metres. Estriella's travelling well.
Yeah, just untapped potential, I suppose.
The one-act affair. It's Estriella winning it by four lengths.
Fast.
That was amazingly exciting. We came here hoping that she would do something like that.
She's going to be spot on.
As you can see, that coat's just about ready. To all good sweat today and that'll all come out.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Couldn't be happier.
Oh. I'm delighted.
Yeah. I couldn't be happier. So you know, the plan is to win the Moya. Kevin's obviously ultra confident.
Yeah, if they beat her in the Moya, I'm just going to sell every horse I got.
You can see just her mindset.
She's definitely more relaxed.
That's what I mean.
Thanks again, mate. Well, I can't be more excited. I want to put the Moya to bed and then the Manikato. Then we go to the Everest. And then we may hit Las Vegas, I think. But I don't know where we're going after the Everest.
Well done. Well, the Everest, can she win it? I think yes. And it's the biggest, richest race in the country, so it would mean a lot. And I haven't won it.